38RUH.
Good morning, Anthony. It's W8RCY, Donald. Got a question for you about older computers. You up for it?
What's going on, Donald? It's been months, I feel like, since I talked to you.
It's not your fault. It's mainly my fault, or I'll take part of the blame. But also, as we get into September, every year, no matter what the heck's going on in the world, is a very, very, very busy month for me. And I just don't get out of the air much, or I'm just so busy. But my radio is on. I hear you guys every morning. So it's not on your end. It's just on my end. I was going through some stuff of mine recently, and I happened to find my old Sierra wireless air card that would plug into the side of a laptop. Now, my new Toughbook that I just got has CD-ROM DVD capabilities because I'm that old school. But this thing here, my air card, would plug into a PicMix slot. Do you still see old computers with PicMix slots in them?
No, that's a thing of the past. If I know what type of card you're talking about, it's basically a wireless card, a Wi-Fi card, and probably, my gosh, 10 years ago, which means, you know, I was seeing it in the used market, and, you know, that would mean 13 to 15 years ago, the new market probably got rid of those. They have the onboard Wi-Fi, and they don't use that card anymore. I think I know exactly what you're talking about. It's probably like 2 inches wide, 3 inches long, and just slid right into like a data port sort of thing.
Yeah, you pretty much got it, and I still have it. I still even have the disk to load in, but it was not Wi-Fi. It was actually cellular, and this was 2002, 2003, as cellular service was going into like the 3G world. 4G is when we started seeing digital. But yeah, this is like the 3G world, and the card would plug into the side of my laptop, and after you load the disk and everything, and you'd have a screen on there, and you can actually make phone calls through your laptop. This is a Verizon thing. And I was going through an old thing, and I found this little pouch carrier that had discs in them, you know, loading discs, you know, like a cassette thing, you know, when you collect tapes and CDs for music. And I found it, and I said, holy cow, I didn't even know I still had this thing. And the only thing you forgot, or you didn't know probably, was there was a little thin antenna that you plug into it, and the only way you can make and receive phone calls is you had to have some kind of earpiece or headset that plugged into a jack off the opposite end. It was really, really cool back then, that kind of technology to have it.
Yeah, I'm sure if you took that in somewhere and tried to get them to activate it of any sort, they would look at you like you were a crazy old man. And I can't even imagine that there's a computer out there that's current or even remotely current that would have that data port. I would, I haven't seen anything like that in years and years and years and years.
Well, I started working for Verizon in 2000, and they were still AirTouch when I started working for them because they were like secretly training people out in Southfield. But I would have at my workstation at Verizon in St. Clair Shores there, 10.5 in Harbor area, the old location, not the new location, up by 9.5. And I have next to my workstation a little like shelf that I could put it on. And I'd be there, you know, discussing things with a customer or a client. And my computer would just start ringing. And he goes, What's ringing? Oh, that's just my laptop. I'll have to call him back. They go, what? Yeah, my laptop. It's my extra office phone. No way. And the next thing you know, you've got a selling point to sell these people these air cards. But PicMix slots, yeah. I mean, like I said, for me to have a CD-ROM in my new Toughbook, or refurbished Toughbook, and for those to still be around, Just wondering if you were ever seeing anything about the old pick slots. And they were actually stacked. You can put one in on top of the other. Like you said, they just slide right into the side, but you can stack two of them in there at a time. Really cool device back then in the early 2000s.
Yeah, there's nothing like that exists anymore. It's all, onboard cards for Wi-Fi or cellular. Like I said, I haven't seen anything like that in years.
I'm not sure if you said it, but I remember you said the guys were talking about cell phones a while back in the old analog days, and I think it was you that might have mentioned the word StarTAC. So, StarTAC phones and TimePort phones, the silver ones with the illuminated green neon screens on them. That was my era when I started with Verizon. It's amazing how the technology grows. And like you said, those things that were once cellular are now Wi-Fi, and everything now is embedded in the computers. So makes you wonder if they could somehow bring something like that, looking at, technology like my Toughbook, and put some kind of cellular connection in there. Actually, I can put a cell card in there. My laptop is Wi-Fi, but it's also 4G LTE capable, and all I got to do is contact Verizon and get a card, just plug into it, so I could use cellular where I don't have Wi-Fi. But to make phone calls, no, I think those days are gone.
Hey, Donald, I got to get back to you. I had to take a phone call. I'll catch up with you in a little bit. KRUH.
Copy that. WRCY is standing by.
Good morning, W8FU.
Hello, W8RCY. And Anthony's out there. We were talking, but he took a phone call.
That darn Anthony. Always taking phone calls, working and stuff, man.
Yeah, definitely. Busy, busy man. No, I was talking to him about older computers, and I happened to find the other day going through some of my stuff, I had one of those little things that I put CD discs in for computers, and I found my old Sierra Wireless Verizon-backed air card that would plug into a picnic slot in the side of my laptop, and I can make it receive phone calls. This was from about almost 25 years ago, because I think I got the thing in 2002 when I was first starting to work for Verizon. And I asked him if he ever saw anything with picnic, any laptops with picnic slots in them anymore.
What kind of slot? You talking about a PC MIA or whatever? PC, one of them large rectangular slots?
Yeah, one of those doohickeys. I don't even remember the exact acronym for them. I just call them PCMIC. PCMIC is how I remembered it, but I know there's a couple more A's in there, and it's trying to spell like Mickey Mouse kind of a thing, So I just call them PCMICs. Yep, but those are the ones. And my laptop back in 2000 at the time when I bought it had the CD, DVD system in it, plus the PCMICs. And when I was working for Verizon, Sierra Wireless came out with these devices, and I put one in mine, and my computer became the in-store demo for it with a company line on it, what do they call them? I can't think of anything, but it wasn't called a company line. It was called something else back then. Demo line.
Roger, yeah, it's been a very long time since I've seen anything with a PCMCIA slot. I think I have a couple of little universal adapters. They plug in the USB, but they break out to SD, micro SD, PCM, CIA. What else was there? And I've never had a, I don't know that I ever had a PC or a laptop that did one. I might have had a card that was in a desktop that had one. And I did have a Wi-Fi card, I think it was, back when that was even not a normal thing. But, yeah, that was kind of one of those technologies that was here today. CF card, that was another one. I think, although that was compact flash, I think that was just memory. I don't think they used that for anything else, but I'm not sure. Oh, my. Now you get a USB-C. That's it. Everything else can be broke out of that.
Yeah, and like I said, I was surprised I still have it. I have the disk for the software, and I have the actual card, the antenna that you plug into the side of it, and an extension long enough to where you can place it on the top of your laptop. It would just sit up there instead of just sticking out the side of your, the base of your laptop. It would, the little cable was long enough to where you could attach it high up on the back side of your screen. And get a little elevation out of it, maybe about a foot higher. But, yeah, I found it, I just laughed. I said, I didn't even know I still had this thing floating around, and the disc for it as well. But, yeah, a little nostalgia conversation we had this morning, and definitely brings back some old memories and how the transgression of that happened from car slots to companies like Sierra Wireless. Making them embedded now. I believe Sierra Wireless is still in business, and everything would be embedded today in modern-day technology for sure.
Well, you can throw it out now. There ain't never going to be a need for that. I doubt it's probably analog. I doubt it's even digital. So I don't even know if the phone service would support it anymore. And, of course, it's a modem, so it's digital, but, I mean, it's designed to run on the old analog network. I don't know. No, it'll probably have to be at least a 2G device, I would guess. No, enough on that. Don't need to figure it out. It's destined for the garbage pile. I probably got stuff, a lot of stuff like that in boxes. I got to... Evo. Sure I do. Oh, man. I got that new Mac. Like I said, it's all USB-C, everything. If you want any other kind of connectivity, you got to buy a hub. And I can't think of too much. I really have to have. Might want a wired network adapter. That's about it. There are some cases where I got to jack into a network. But that's about the only thing I can think of right offhand. It's kind of cool because they let you charge it through both a charging port and through the USB-C. So that's kind of cool. You don't even need a charging adapter. That was a surprise. That's new to me. Technology marches on.
Guess Anthony's still talking to his fan club. Yeah, and as you know, I occasionally run a car, and I'm finding now that my just my USB cords that I have for my phones or anything else, I have the old large end things, and cars today have US, I guess, mini A's or mini B's to plug into the dash, and then you have the universal USB-C to plug into the device. But my cords don't keep up with that, and it's like, how do I charge my phone? Well, you got to get this new cord. So I had to go to Verizon there at 12 Mount and get a cord now that is smaller on the end that plugs into the car. It's like, why can't we just make them USB-C on both ends and not worry about anything anymore? What's with the, you know, USB-A, B, C, you know? And the C was the greatest innovation change because you didn't have to worry about having it plugged in a certain way. It was universal.
K8RUH.
Hello, Anthony.
Good morning.
Well, I don't know of anything. They ran USB-A, and then now the cars are running USB-C. I don't know of anything that's not either USB-A or USB-C in a car. I've never seen it. So what is this mysterious, weird third one you're talking about? They are all going to USB-C on both ends, so very weird. And yeah, with the old USB-A, there was a I think it's a scientific, if it's not a fact, it's at least a theorem, but you'll always get it the right way on the third try. Anthony?
Likewise, I'm not aware of anything other than A and C USBs, but yeah, I just wanted to call back out. I am hopping out of the car to walk into the office, so I will catch up with you gentlemen later. If I get a chance, I'll switch over to my phone. This is K8RUH, and have a great day, gentlemen.
Okay, Anthony, you have a great day. Thanks for the chat, and yeah, like I said, a little nostalgia there never hurts. But yeah, thanks for the convo, and you have a great day. Yeah, what's between an A and a C? Well, I had a Volkswagen Atlas, which is about the size of a Ford Explorer, and I ended up finding an A plug in the back for the rear seat passengers, but up on the dash at the bottom of the center pod there were, you know, a couple things for standard, like foam plug and regular wall plug, 120 volt. And then there were these two other holes or slots that you'd think would be a USB. And I even stuck the phone end into it thinking it was a USB-C. Nope, that didn't fit it either. So it was some kind of tweener between an A and a C. And again, a Volkswagen, German engineered car, probably something from their country.
Catch you later, Anthony.
I'll assume he's out. Anyhow, I'd be shocked. I don't know of anything. Even Volkswagen would really surprise me if they had something that wasn't A or C. So, but well, who knows? I haven't been in a Volkswagen. But all your domestic cars, Ford, GM, Chrysler, they were running A. You would plug your phone in with that A to whatever your phone took cable. Now all the phones with Apple finally joining the C crowd. Now all your phones are USB-C and all the cars are USB-C. So your dream of a cable and it doesn't matter what end is here.
I remember when I returned it to Enterprise, they asked me if the vehicle was fine. I said, oh, yeah, it's a great vehicle. I mean, it was the first time I've ever driven one, or I didn't even know the Atlas existed. And I said, but there was one problem. I had no place to plug in my phone until I found a thing in the back, and I had to stop off at home and get a block, but I found a 120 in the back that I could plug in the block or the puck, whatever you call them, and then I can put my adapter into that to make it work. But, yeah, it was just a weird anomaly that happened with it. And that's the only time I've ever had that experience with a car from Enterprise. But, yeah, so anyway. So, are you working in the office today, or do you have any more road trips? And what time did you get home? I didn't hear you back on the other side of town.
About 5:36, somewhere in that range. And, yeah, I was on the air pretty much the whole way. I was on DMR a little bit, mostly on this one. And I was on P25 a little bit, but mostly right here. and I was traveling from like 4 to almost 6.
Well, I heard you when you were deciding on which way to go home, and then, you know, you moved around different bands, and I had other stuff going, and, you know, so on and so forth, and won't divulge into it, but, you know, what went on yesterday in the world or here in America, so. But anyways, yeah, and I just, maybe you did, and I just didn't hear what time you got home or what time you got back to this side of town, so. May have been on my end, but I just, it's just a warning. So 2 hours, that's the norm, so that's good.
Wasn't bad. And I took the 69 to Flint route home, came down from Flint. That was much less hassle than 96, which is always stressful. And actually, according to Google Maps and iPhone Maps, Apple Maps, it was shorter time-wise, longer miles-wise, but shorter time-wise. So that was a no-brainer. Took that route on the way home. I always enjoy that route, even though, like I said, it's longer, more miles. Just less stressful.
Yeah, I've never ever recall taking the 75 to 69 to Lansing route. I was always the old 96er type person, but back when this whole GMRS thing started and how we first met, we had a couple of people, plus Mike from the Troy Repeater, would have to go out that way, and he always told me he would take 75 to 69, 69 over to Lansing. I just have yet to experience it, but... yeah, one day if I head out that way, part of the reason why I don't go out that way anymore is because my brother, who used to live in the Muskegon Heights and Northern Shores area, lived out that way, and of course he just goes straight out one way, 96. But, yeah, I'll take that route one day just to try it, because I still head back to that side of the state once in a while. Sounds interesting.
So, in the mobile.
Good morning. Well, what I'll say is it never seems to make sense for us. I'm sure Nick runs at 69 in Lansing all the time. But for us, it doesn't seem like it is as practical going out. But it's always a viable option coming back. And I don't know why that is. I mean, right now, because of the construction they got going on eastbound 696, clearly there's an advantage to doing it, but anyhow, good morning, Nick. How are you doing?
All good. Headed inbound the next day of this week. Yeah, 69 is much better to run than Miami. Obviously, we should get 59 when I was up the house, but I still have to run it sometimes from the office. But with all the construction on 96, so past Brighton, from like Brighton to Lansing, switch over and stuff like that. So right now 96 is horrible. But 69 is an easier drive. There's less slope. And I'm sure I'm faster too.
Good morning, Nick. Yeah, I guess like for me, traveling, you know, from where I'm live in the same general area that Sean lives in, I just could never understand the practicality of going north and then hooking back south-southwest. But if it's a time saver more than it is a mile thing or the other way around, yeah, that would be the route to take. And since I've met a lot of new people in radio, they're telling me, yeah, it's the way to go. And so I would have probably have tried it by now, but in 2019 my brother moved from that side of the state to Florida, so I don't get on that side of the state as much as I used to. But one day I'll be sure to try it.
Well, it's certainly less stressful. So, Nick, what do you got going on? Any interesting things going on? Got you in the office or just a regular trip? I was talking to Brad, and I guess there's some concerns with a House bill, I guess, for budget next year. They're talking about the House pushing really hard for a back-in-office kind of a thing. You heard about that?
Yeah, unfortunately I have. I don't like it, obviously. I don't want to be there 5 days a week. I don't see the need for it. But, yeah, phone project, end of the month, I need to get the training room set back up. That's on my agenda today, and I got one of my motorcycle guys sitting there right now. We're still trying to work on the cell card, and the tablet keeps pushing the GPS stale in the tablet itself, so I'm trying to work with him. And I didn't know he was coming today. He said he was going to be off sick, and then he texted me last night, and it didn't sound like he was going to come, and I get a call at 7:05 this morning. Hey, where you at? Kind of didn't know you were coming. So, and then I got a nice recorder issue for my new Vesta phone. Of course.
Go ahead, Sean. You guys are talking about stuff over my head.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Nice is something, if I don't ever have to deal with them, and I won't ever have to deal with them again in my life, I hope. I can't say for sure I won't, but, man, I do not, they're not nice, in my opinion. So, okay, well, something you got some stuff to do. Oh, man, I could work pretty much as I want from home, but, yeah, I don't. I just feel, in my particular position, there's something lost working from home. But then when you got to, you know, quarterback a crew, it's kind of hard to do it remotely. So, but that's just it. I don't really need to do a whole lot of hand-holding. I'm pretty much self-motivated and get things done. So it's kind of weird, but it's just something about just being there. Your job's a little different. You know, it's a lot of, you could do exactly the same thing. You know, it's just a matter of whether you do it from home or the office. And so it is a head scratcher why they wouldn't allow it. Oh, well. I'm at the drive-thru here. I'll hear everything everyone says, but I may not be able to get back.
Yeah, 90% of my job is dialing in remotely to computers anyway, so it is what it is. Whatever happens, happens. I had a job before that all started, and I'll adapt and overcome what I have to do. So. And I didn't catch the other guy's name or call. I know the voice, I just can't put the information to it. Go ahead.
Not a problem, Nick. First name is Donald. Call sign is W8RCY. And I'm over in Madison Heights area of Oakland County. And my on-again, off-again girlfriend / significant other is fortunate to work from home, which started back when COVID hit. She would have to commute from New Baltimore area, 23 mile and 94, and commute out to, I can't remember the name of the exact city, but it's outside of Orchard Lake, Maple Road and Drake area by M5. So that was a commute every day in the wintertime. And they just basically said, stay there, stay home. I mean, she had a company vehicle, four-wheel drive and stuff like that, but the commute was rough. And now that everything's over, and, you know, so on and so forth, they just told her to stay out there, but show up once a month at the beginning of the month meetings. And so she would have to get dressed up and, you know, do it that way for work. But she gets to stay home now and work from home and not have to do the commute.
I'll come back to Sean. Yeah, when COVID started, I was still 911 dispatch, and then beginning of 21 is when I got my job switched to do what I'm doing now, the IT side of it. The center really runs itself, so I really don't need to be there for that. I mean, I can pretty much do anything I need to do remotely. I gotta go fix it. A physical console or something like that, and yeah, I gotta go to the office. But other than that, you know, it is what it is. If I have to go back, I have to go back. Need the job, gotta pay the bills.
I am here. I just, going through the Starbucks drive-thru here.
Copy that. I'll let you pick it up after me. So with her, like I said, a lot of it had to do with COVID and the driving distance from basically M5 in Maple, 275 area, all the way out to 23 and 94. Was just a hell of a commute, especially in the winter time. And when things got better, she was, like I said, fortunate and allowed to still work at home. And she's got a whole setup provided by the real estate company in a empty bedroom of her house. And her dog, Murphy, Murphy's not much help. He just sleeps in the corner all day. But, yeah, she's got it nice, and she's fortunate to have it for sure. They've never really asked her to come back, or come back to your office and show up or work 3 days a week here in the office or anything. She has to show up the first Wednesday of every month for the monthly startup meetings, and that's about it. Sean, go ahead if you're available.
The barista at Starbucks, I think I've told you about her. She's real chatty, and she probably knows everybody, you know, but she's always commenting on my radios and stuff like that. But she was really messed up today, and she's like, first she thinks she didn't scan my phone, and then, but she did, so she's like, wait a minute, I'm confused. And then, because we had this thing going on, I start to drive off with all my coffee. She goes, wait. She goes, you didn't get your coffee. I'm like, oh, my God. We had a little craziness at the window. Anywho, look at the sun peeking out there. 7:14, I'm right on time. Life is good.
Did Nick's phone ring, maybe?
You never know. It always could be. Where's Dakota this morning?
Actually, both phones rang at the same time. My work phone and my personal phone, so I got to make the phone call back on the personal phone. So I'm going to bow out. I got about 20 minutes left. I'll see if I can get back. If not, we'll say 7-3, and we'll catch this back. W-8-2-3.
All right, Nick, we'll catch you later. I'm about a mile from the shop here, so I'll be certainly gone by the time you're back. So you have a good day. Be safe. Drive safe. W8FU.
Copy, Nick. Have a great day. Double ringer there you got. That's interesting. Double ringer all at once. Have a great day. And, Sean, you're asking about Dakota. I was thinking the exact same thing. You kind of read my mind on that one, so you beat me to it. But when I was talking to Anthony, he was up on air at about 6:40 is when he called out. And, of course, I was on the air since 6. So he was the first one I heard.
Got a license plate in front of me that it's formatted correctly as a, it could be a ham call sign, but I'm betting it's not. That's weird.
what is it, a 1x2, 2x3, 5x9? what's the combination you got?
It's an Alpha Alpha 6x3. I don't know if they do AA by threes. Okay, I know they do AA by twos. AA is a valid prefix, so imagine it'd be a valid call. But it was AA 6, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I was at QRZ.com the other day, and putzing around on it, and I saw where you can get extended suffixes on call signs, you know, like mine, WARCY / let's just say hypothetically DMG for my initials, and I never even knew that existed, and I didn't quite understand the whole thing as I read through it. I just glanced at it, and I said, oh, geez, another way to make call signs longer and more difficult to remember or whatever the case may be.
Now, I got a cacophony of noises going off here. I got an alarm just went off. My blood glucose monitor just went off, and I don't know why the hell that happened. But I am here. I'm pulling up in the parking lot. I find myself a spot and get inside and start my day. Thanks for the drive, Donald. We'll catch you later. I'll be back in here listening in a bit, but for now, off to work. After yours, W8FU.
All right, have an awesome day. Don't work too hard, and make the best of it. W-A-R-C-Y. I heard somebody trying to get in there. All I heard was just some mic clicks, and that was about it. You want to try that again? Okay, I'm hearing things in my old age, and I will be older in a couple of weeks. So, anywho, who's ever out there, just have a great day. Great morning, and if you're on the road, be safe, stay safe. W-A-R-C-Y, we will be listening throughout the day.
WDAKLO. WDAKLO on the mobile.
KFH-DIC.
WDHKLL. How you doing, Jack?
Oh, very good. It's sunshine, good weather out here.
Absolutely, yep. Absolutely beautiful. What are you up to today, Jack?
Oh, nothing right now. I just woke up about half hour ago. I haven't had breakfast yet, so, you know, still drinking fresh coffee.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're running a little late today, huh? Sleeping in. Get to be like me, Jack. Yeah, we're just still running around. I'm on a handheld right now, that little TID radio. Jen's car. We had to get an oil change done and stuff on it. So we're just out running around.
Your radio sound good, Greg.
Yeah, good deal. Yeah, it's been a good little radio, a little 10 watt. Can't beat it for sure. Yeah, I think the Flint repeater on the GMRS side is, at least it's transmitting. I can transmit, but I can't receive, so I'm not sure what's going on that side, but there was a little bit of ducking going on this morning, I heard.
Yeah, this morning it was open. I clicked a couple of times on that GMRS, and I clicked back on, but there was nobody out there. I asked for a radio check, but there was nobody out there to answer back. I would say about 7:30, something like that.
Yeah, I got on this morning, talking to Sheboygan County Bob, and like I said, I was transmitting on the Flint repeater. I could transmit, but I could not receive, so I have to go to the Mayville to receive. But anyway, it is what it is.
I guess so. I don't know either. All right, Greg. Take care. We'll talk again. KF8-DRC.
All right, buddy. You have a good day. WDHKLL will be clear.
Hey, set you up. KF8-DIC. KF8-DIC, NHJKF. Dave, how you doing? Very good, Dave. How about you? This is Jack.
Hey, Jack. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to be late for my 2 o'clock appointment in Lansing, but... You know, they'll wait for me. Looking at my GPS, I should have left an hour earlier. It's construction up by Weberville. So, hey, it's good to finally talk to you. I hear you on here all the time. I've been, I've had my radio in my rig, like this rig, for about maybe 4 or 5 months. Wasn't really active for several years. Renewed my license, got back on, got a GMRS ticket, been listening to all that, and you're quite active, and so I feel like I already know you. So good to talk to you today.
No problem, Dave, anytime you like. I don't have no problem with that. Anyhow, how you doing? I know you're going to be a little bit late, but that's okay. I always somebody can wait a few minutes or even an hour. Roger.
So,
Yeah, you're in and out of the system a little bit. But yeah, they need me for this meeting, so. And I'm coming from farther away than everybody else, so I'm sure they won't appreciate the inconvenience, but it'll be okay. So I'm on 696, obviously westbound in the ditch, just coming through Southfield right now and heading out toward Lansing. And yeah, that last one was a little broken. I didn't quite get all that. Send it back to see if we were in a better spot. And he's like, yeah. Might have been me throwing in my call, W8FU. Hi,
Sean.
Yeah, you rock stars. Hi, Sean. I'm doing better now. This has been an adjustment. You know, all these repeater systems down here, they're all linked, and they take a little time to cycle, and I'm trying to get a little bit better about not keying too quick. I'm kind of an old-school guy, used to not being on linked systems so much. Good to hear you in there, and Jack, over to you if you're still there.
I'm still here, but go ahead. I'm driving in Square Lake Road. And it's a little bit of traffic, so I gotta keep an eye on this traffic. You know how these people drive. Anyhow, go ahead, Sean. KFADRC.
Yeah, that's right, Jack. You wanna keep an eye on them. You never know what the crazies will do. So, which is why I chimed in. Yeah, Dave, I had to run out to Lansing yesterday, and it was a little frustrating. Wasn't too bad, but out past Wixom, out past Brighton, it pinched down to one lane a few times, and it was pretty annoying. And but it traveled relatively decent. On the way home, it absolutely. I took 69 in the Flint, came down 75. Stress-free. I would highly advise it. It's more miles, but it's faster. Both Apple Maps and Google Maps both told me that was 1:50 home, and versus like almost 2 hours to take the other. You know, if the extra miles don't bug you, I don't know how many it is. It's much lower stress coming back 69 down 75.
Yeah, no, I agree, Sean. Real fine. I'll do that. I live right at Big Beaver and 75, and my office is down at 14 and Stevenson 15, rather. And that's where I just left from. And so I'm leaving my office and heading to Lansing. I usually take 96. If I'm leaving from home, I'll always go the north route. I just got a little frustrated with that construction on 75 that was up in Clarkston. Stopped doing that, but I think they're probably done with that. And the other day, I was just like, once I got on 75 and I saw the time, I'm thinking, man, I should have gone the other way, but I'm kind of committed now. So, you know, let's do what we can do. So, really bummed and sorry about the situation with the West Bloomfield Fire Tower, losing that site. I know Phil's not happy about that. And hopefully we'll end up with something else real good there. But apparently they don't appreciate the aesthetics of a beautiful piece of steel rising into the air right off Orchard Lake Road there in the community.
Yeah, that could be it. I don't know. They don't want to put it back up is what I understand. So I don't, you know, they don't have a need. I guess I don't blame them. But I don't know if Phil told you or not. I think I have a alternative lined up. I got to get by, and I got to wait for the right opportunity. I was hoping to do it this week still. And it's still not out of the question, but now I found out I'm going to be short two guys tomorrow, and I got
a job just popped first thing tomorrow morning. I got to be where I'm heading right now. I got to be back tomorrow morning at 8. I'm going to do a little preliminary legwork, so I really want to get by there, and I'm fairly certain, based on who gave me the okay, if it's tenable, I think we'll have an alternative lined up, which should work really nice. But we'll see. I gotta get on it.
Yeah, real fine, Sean. Yeah, Bill told me all about that. That's a great. I think that's perfect. That's a great, great deal because, yeah, it's a little further north and a little further west, and it sounds like a great location. And there's a lot of overlap already with your system in the east side, so which does really well. I think I was really excited about that. I wasn't too happy. I don't want to pick on my good friends and. West Bloomfield Township, who had been so good to me over the years, but we had some essential stuff up on there. You know, the county had some stuff on that tower, and there was the FM radio station, and that is a pain to move because it matters exactly where it is, and we had to redo all the engineering. And I will forever hold on to the architectural drawings, of the building with the tower on it, but ultimately they decided that, I don't think the township had any of their own assets on there, and I really don't think they liked the way it looked, so I guess I understand, I think we've got another spot. I got it all engineered for the radio station, just got to get the bureaucracy out of the way, and we'll be fine there, but it wouldn't have been a good site for the repeater.
Yeah, what are they going to do about the radio station? Are they just going to give it up? I mean, that's what they did at Warren. They used to have a radio. And, that was all a hot ticket for a hot minute, and now nobody gives a crap, so anybody that went out and bought those little AM broadcast stations, they just all went to the wayside. Are they just abandoning that?
Well, they would have if it wasn't for me. I think a lot of them are. I mean, it's a very low power FM. Ours is even worse because it's a Class D in the 80s that the feds tried to get all of the stations that were, these are FM Class D's that around here were all the licensees were schools or colleges, and there are a bunch of them. And in the 80s, the Fed said, okay, you guys have to upgrade or you're going to forever be a D, and we're not going to protect you at all, and you're going to be always limited into a D status, which is, 10 watts transmitter output, which is ridiculous. So, which is why they wanted to get rid of them. So all the other schools upgraded to C's, which are like 100 to 300 watts, depending on antenna height. They're not bad little signals. And it's very useful as a community emergency asset. We really like our radio station. We program a lot of stuff on it. There's enthusiasm, and we kind of tied it into our community television channel that we operate. And I put the thing back on the air, my brother and I helped put that on the air in 74, so we're kind of enthusiastic about it. But you got to have somebody that really, really cares and wants to do the extra effort, go find the money for it to make it worthwhile, because there is not any, they're just, it's the kids in the high school, they care less about it. They don't care about radio like we used to.
Now, wait a minute, are we talking about like an FM station that the kids could do like WPHS or, the one they run out of, Athens High, or are we talking about like a 1690 information station for the township? Which one are you running there? I guess I'm not clear.
no, it's the FM. Those low-power AMs are authorized as information stations. And I know that some of the municipalities, I think Oakland County's got a license for one, and they're not really very useful, except for some, like, very localized information to travelers. Or like at the Mackinac Bridge, I think they have one, and theme parks and stuff. But no, this is an FM broadcast, and like Avondale High School, they applied, and they've upgraded theirs to 3,000 watts. It's directional. They're projecting us, actually. We're their first adjacent. And it does really well. It's got really good coverage. And Bloomfield Hills, they've got one that's like, I think, licensed at 300 and some odd watts. Southfield High School, Novi, Plymouth. Oak Parks went away. Warren's, I think, went away. But there were a bunch of them. And, yeah, they'd be great for the high schools and the kids. It's just now we operate it more of as a community radio station in West Bloomfield because of the interest of the students that was there when we were kids, that they don't seem to have the same level of excitement, at least in our community. But a lot of other communities are great little stations, and they're a lot of fun and a great educational environment.
No, I'm a big supporter and a big fan of that. I thought, though, when I was saying that they're abandoning them, and I was talking about those low-power AM informational ones. That's what I was referring to. I think it's a shame that they're abandoning the FM broadcast. But, you know, I guess a lot of them are podcasting now. They want the skill set, sort of, kind of, you know, and I guess you could probably teach that with a streaming station. You know, where they could put together. My daughter was involved in that at WPHS and at Warren, it was at Cousin O, but it was in the Warren Consolidated Network. And, you know, she did a little stint there back when she was in school. And she really enjoyed it, but things have changed. You know, but the skill set still could use that for a streaming service or something like that or podcasting, so... The skill set is still, you know, still valuable. I don't know why they're not interested.
Yeah, so it's just interest in the communities. There was low interest for a while. Now there's pretty high interest in it. I think we've, you know, got the school district excited about it, and we're running it, so they don't really have to take responsibility for it. And we do their high school football games and other sporting events and a lot of stuff, and we do a daily television information show, an hour a day on TV, and we simulcast all that stuff on the radio. So it is a bad little radio station. There's more fun we can do with it. But from an EOC standpoint, I think it's a really cool thing to have because if everything else goes to hell, we have this thing built pretty solid. I've got a backup transmitter and transmission line, and I just keep that in a warehouse, and, you know, if all hell broke loose and everything else and everything was down, it might prove to be a beneficial communication asset, you know, during some real bad disaster. So, yeah, they're cool things, and we're trying to preserve ours. So I'm going to move that one. I've just got to get the bureaucracy out of the way at the township, but move that one over to the town. There's a tower at the township site. We can get on there, and it'll be just fine.
All right, there you go. Well, I better understand now what was going on there. So, okay, I got to check out of here. I'm pulling up on my next stop here, and we've gobbled it up a bit much here. So, Jack didn't mean to bowl you over there, but I wanted to get to the bottom of some stuff that I've always wondered about there at the site. So, I appreciate your consideration, and I am turning into my location here. Make this my last. W8FU.
All right, real fine, Sean. Well, good chatting with you. We'll do it again sometime. Maybe I'll come crash one of your Saturdays. 73 is W8FU at 8JKM. Hey, you doing what?
Are you being what?
K-E-8-R-U-H. K-E-8-R-U-H.
At A-D-D-O.
K-E-8-R-U-H. What's going on, dude?
Just, pulling out of the parking lot and making my way home. What about you?
Likewise, just fighting traffic. I don't know why it's so bad today.
I left my house at like 7 this morning and it was super bad. It took me forever to get in and it looks like it's going to take me, the normal time to get home, but Hall Road's of course Hall Road.
Yeah, I left about 10 minutes late today and probably about 20 minutes late. And it took me 10 minutes extra to get to the office. It was crazy. I don't know what was going on. It was just more people, I guess. I don't know.
I try rolling out by, like, 6:30 at the latest, and I left at 7 today. And it's, like, that little bit of time. I mean, 30 minutes is quite a bit of time when you're talking commuting. But same thing if I leave, 10 after my usual time or 15 minutes, it's like it takes me another 10, 15 minutes to get there.
Yeah, it's wild. It's just must be the velocity of people. There's that many more people on the road. But it's pretty crazy. What do you got cooking this weekend? Anything good?
Nothing going on. I'm dad on the weekends. My wife is working every weekend for the next, what is this, week 4. So she's got 8 weeks to go. And, I don't mind it. It's actually kind of nice. It forces me to not do anything, really. And I don't, after the weeks we've been having, I'm kind of okay with that.
Is she, by taking all these weekends, is she going to be able to not work any weekends for quite a while, or how does that work for her?
Well, our nanny's student teaching for 12 weeks, and so until that's done, she's working every weekend, and then when she's done with this crap, we go back to our regularly scheduled programming, it'll be every third like she was doing, so... I don't know, I don't mind being home with the kids on the weekends, but it does suck that I literally get to spend no time with my wife, so it is what it is, it's just till November.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fun to get the time with the kids, but like you said, then you guys don't get to do anything at all. That's a bummer.
Nope, but I save $500 a week in child care, so that's fun.
That's fantastic. And actually not all that expensive, ironically.
$500 a week doesn't sound so bad, but then when you factor in it's $2,000 a month and it's cash and it's only for two days a week, then it breaks down to be pretty disgusting.
Oh, I'm not for a second saying it's not a lot of money. I'm just saying you got 3 kids and you're getting that much child care. You're getting a lot for your money, I should say.
Yeah, I don't have any complaints. She's a good nanny. Kids don't have to get up early aside from going to school now. And they're home, they're safe. You know, especially my little dude, he's not even 2 yet. So it works out good. And it's a short time. We're just we keep joking. It's like, man, when these kids are in school full time, we don't have to pay for child care. Where are we can afford a house up north?
It certainly changes the game, I'll tell you that, just even having the one. But then there's all the other expenses, sports, and, you know, they start figuring out what's cool and what's not cool, and they start wanting some material things, and they're growing out of shoes, they're growing out of bikes, they're growing out of everything all the time. They'll always figure out a way to spend all of your money.
Yeah, they do a good job of that now as it is. It seems like I've constantly got to buy them shoes, clothes, school crap. They're not even really in sports yet, but that's coming. Food, they love eating food, like going out. Like, I hate buying my kids fast food, but like, all they ask for is freaking Happy Meals, and I'm pretty sure it's just a toy, but yeah, no, I'm not. My concern, I can get through the rest of this stuff. I still don't think it's going to equate to what we spend in childcare. My concern is when all three of them have to drive, and the first two are only 17 months apart, and then the other guy is 2.5 years younger. So it's like, so do I buy three cars, and I have to insure them and put gas in them and maintain them, or how does that work? I mean, if they're going to play sports, yeah, I guess they kind of do need it, right?
You should be working on a fleet deal right now.
Sorry, I got distracted. There's a, has to be built, looks kind of homebrewed, but there's a ZR2 Silverado next to me that's supercharged, kind of sick.
It's always fun to see those. I was looking on Marketplace today, and there was a Ford Ranger, an old Ford Ranger with only like 40,000 miles on it, and it was in perfect condition. I was just laughing. They wanted a ton of money for it, but it was super cool.
Yeah, back to the cost of vehicles. It's just stupid what all these things cost now. I'm more than halfway through the lease on this one, and I'm just going back and forth on, do I even care what I drive anymore? Do I want to get a new one? Do I want to just buy this one? Like, I'm just so sick of paying for vehicles, but I'm never going to get away from it because I can't, in my own realm of driving, keep something that long.
Yeah, it is interesting to try to figure it out, that's for sure. But hey, I just pulled up in the driveway. I'll catch up with you later. I'll try to get on tomorrow morning, even though I'm at home, and catch up with you guys then. This is KE8, RU8. I'll be clear on your time.
All right, man. Sounds good. N8, BBF. Standing by.
I say hello to Dakota. Hi, Dakota. KFA-TRC.
How's it going, Jack?
Oh, very good. I just want to say hello. How you doing? And that's about it.
I'm hanging in there. I'm making my way home, and I've been looking forward to that since I left the driveway this morning, so I can't complain. How about you?
I don't believe you. Just don't want to be home. That is the first thing. Every time I do that at work, I just want to get home and relax. Really, because those days are, you know, they're very hard to do. But I'm okay. You know, I'm just driving. I got to get a couple of parts for the snowblower to see what happens.
Don't get me wrong. I love what I do, but I also love the 3 hours a night I get to myself where I'm not doing what I love to do and getting paid for it. But you're early working on the snowblower.
Yeah, I'm working on a snowblower. It's got a carburetor problem. And it's hell, you know. You take it apart, but you don't know how to put it back because... So then they told me the way it is, you take a picture before you take it out, and when you put it back, you look at the picture. I was going back.
I'm not the most mechanically inclined person, so I do something similar. I went through, I've got a 2000 Scrambler 500 four-wheeler, and I went through the whole thing. It was like rotting in my dad's barn. It hardly ever got used, but never got taken care of. And I had to do the same thing. I had to take most of it apart, remember how it goes back together. I had to find the parts. It's such a pain. I hate working on stuff, but I got a free four-wheeler out of the deal, so it was worth it. But one thing, if your carburetor's screwed up, don't leave regular pump fuel in it. Use rec fuel that's ethanol-free.
Where did you get that from? I heard mine's got a good gas.
Where you're at, I don't know. Out by me, it's plentiful because everyone's got side-by-sides and crap that they're riding on the roads. I would download the Gas Buddy app, and it's called Rec Fuel or Ethanol Free, and then you can filter it down by that, and it'll tell you what gas stations in the area have it. It's usually a little bit more per gallon, but you're putting it in small motors, so it doesn't matter. It's kind of a negligible difference, especially when you're buying, 5 gallons at a time. So I use that in all my small motors, and I've never, ever, 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 ever had an issue with getting them to start, having to clean the carburetor. I used to stabilize them. I don't even do that anymore. They just fire up in the spring, and it's good to go.
They call it no ethanol? Is that what they call it?
Yes, ethanol-free or rec fuel or I think that's really the only two names it goes by.
All right. Well, I got to drive a little bit. There's a lot of crazy people out here. They pull over in the front of you, and this guy wants to make a left and all that. Good talking to you, and good to hear you out there. KFADRC.
I hear you. I'm trying to make it home, and it's chaos. All right, Jack. Good talking to you. Take care of yourself. I'll talk to you soon. At 8 DBS.
NADBF, KE8WOJ.
Sorry, I had a call come in. NADBF.
How you doing, young man? This is Rick over in West Bloomfield.
I'm not so bad. How are you?
Fat, dumb, and ugly, same as always. I was just listening here. Sounds like you're pretty busy now. You're not getting much trigger time in.
Unfortunately, that's the case. Last time we talked, I think I was telling you how I was shooting them out of my bathroom window. Well, the last thing I shot was out of my bathroom window is another groundhog. So I can't complain that they're coming into the yard and giving me somewhat of an opportunity, but it's definitely way more fun when they're not 50 yards away.
Yeah, Roger that. Well, I've got all the time in the world, but I still haven't made it out to the range in quite a long time there. In fact, I think I was telling you before, I do my own ammo kind of thing, but right now the bench is kind of loaded up with a bunch of other stuff there, so I couldn't do any loads right now if I wanted to. I got to do a little work before I can start doing loads again. But, it's that time of year. The ranges are going to get real busy. Grouse and woodcock are opening up. I think waterfowl's opening up here pretty quick.
Yep, we're coming into my favorite part of year. I'm looking forward to it. I'm not going to get out a whole lot. Just life kind of gets in the way, unfortunately. But I'm really looking forward to deer season. And goose is open right now, actually. I haven't bought any licensing. But that's on the list. And then my buddy just bought a new duck boat for St. Clair to hunt divers, so I'm hoping we'll get out a couple times to do that. All the hunting is getting ready to kick off. I bought a new crossbow last year that I haven't killed anything with, so October 1 I'll be out with that. I'm getting ready, but my all-time favorite type of hunting is groundhogs, and I unfortunately hardly got to do that at all this year.
Yeah, I remember the same thing when I was working. It was, it's a catch-22. You got to work before you can afford the toys to play with and the time to get out and the places to get out too, but you just didn't have that awful much time anymore. But so it kind of made the time you did get out extra special.
There's no doubt about it. I remember when I was younger and living at home, I mean, get home from work, go walk the fields and shoot stuff, and took it for granted because I was doing it every day. And now it's like, man, I hope I get out this season.
I was on my way back from Meijer, I think it was. I usually go to Meijer or Walmart, do my grocery shopping about 6 when they open in the morning before all the craziness starts. And one of the roads here has got a couple miles of gravel that reminds me of being up north. And anyway, there's a lot of turkeys, deer. I saw a monster buck in there the other day on the way home. And then the same day I got over here by the house and right by West Bloomfield High School there, and there's a big old coyote that almost stepped out in front of me in the road, and then he looked at me and kind of thought better. But I feel bad because I think it's almost everyone's duty to hunt down coyotes. They're getting out of hand here. I think the government's going to have to do like they did in the 50s and put a bounty on them pretty soon.
You know they're a problem when you see them dead all over the road. Kind of like where I'm at, we got lots of dead deer, lots of dead turkeys, and lots of dead coyotes on the road. That tells me that the population's doing just fine. And the problem with coyotes is they're not super, they're, in my opinion, they're the smartest animal in North America that you can hunt. Their senses are incredible, their instincts incredible, and they're just smart. The problem is you have to hunt them at night most of the time, and it's just, it's tough, but there's two critters that never get a pass for me, and that is, well, I guess three technically if you count groundhogs, but I'll never pass up a coon and I'll never pass up a coyote.
Yeah, you're right about the yotes there, but it seems like I have never seen one when I had a firearm in my hand or could use one, unfortunately. And yeah, a lot of the folks that I do know that they kind of have read about that go after them usually put bait piles out, kind of thing, you know, and they're shooting at a couple hundred yards, kind of, most of the time, which seems kind of interesting. But yeah, I can't really get out and do much of that anymore. So it's I guess I got to keep reading about it. I've gotten kind of useless, apparently.
Yeah, the last coyote I shot was under thermal at night. I think it was probably 2 o'clock in the morning, and can't do that anymore with little kids. It's too exhausting, especially when I got to work. So I pass that thermal along. I don't really do the night hunting anymore. And, yeah, the last one I shot at, I was deer hunting, and I had a 350 Legend in my hand, and it was at about 380 yards running. So you can imagine I didn't hit it.
Yes, sir, that would be a extremely tough shot, requiring an awful lot of practice and going through a lot of ammo, which means you almost shoot out your barrel before you get good with it. Another catch-22.
I have got dope on that distance, but it all happened so fast that I just kind of was like, all right, I'm dialed to this. I'm going to hold here and see what happens. And obviously, I didn't hit it. But back caliber is not meant to. That's a lead balloon outside of 250.
Yeah, exactly. It's a different story if you got time and delays it and check your ballistics and then, you know, tune the scope, tune the elevation kind of thing and take a nice, easy shot at it while they're standing still. But running through the woods is a whole different story. I think I heard a breaker in there. It sounded like Tom there for a second.
KCKKO, I can't believe I'm making it from this far away.
Where art thou?
I gotta look at this sign. I'm on mile marker. What is this? 116.
You're holding strong. I'm assuming you're on Detroit.
Where am I by here? Corona. That's what I meant. Corona and Durand. On 69 East.
Now I ask, what repeater?
Uh, 1435, so I think that's Holly.
Yeah, I'm thinking Holly or Fenton probably.
Well, I'm sure I'm gonna come in and out right in this general area, but it might by Durand. That area. I just happen to hear you guys talking, so.
Well, you're doing all right. Speaking of groundhogs, there's one in that field right there that I can't hunt.
Yeah, 442.35, that's Holly. Yeah, we got them in the backyard here, too. Drives me crazy because you can't even practice with a bow and arrow. You know, you can use your own house as your backdrop or whatever kind of thing, but... you can't do bow and arrow, you can't shoot a BB gun, you can't do nothing except watch them dig up your yard.
I had some similar rules when I lived in Armada in the village. Wasn't allowed to, what they call it, they called it molesting the wildlife, or and they didn't call it hunting, they called it something stupid. But I figured out a way around that with a, I don't know if you're familiar with a pneumatic, pre-charged pneumatic air rifles, but I bought a FX Maverick in 25 cal that started out as a backyard pellet gun, basically, just one hole at 25 yards, and then it turned into, oh, I can tune this thing, and I can put heavier hammers in, and this, that, and the other thing, and all of a sudden I was shooting a 25 cal pellet that weighed more than a 22 grain bullet and had more energy, so it was then more powerful, and it could shoot farther than a 22, and it was defeated the purpose.
Yeah, I think they've got them now in a 50 cal also. And I know there's quite a few varmint guys that help a lot of farmers with rats and different kind of critter control problems there. And a lot of them have gone to the pneumatics also.
I think that's kind of the way of the future for these smaller cows. I mean, obviously, your powder burner, you're not going to beat that outside of about 150, 200 yards. I mean, I'd say even inside of 100, you're probably fine with an air rifle, but as soon as you start getting outside of that, you're tanking. So I would like to get another one. The problem is there's so much more maintenance. They're finicky. There's seals. There's pumps. There's all kinds of crap that goes into it. But I'll tell you what, once you get those dialed in, they're wicked.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. I considered one myself, but every time I went to the range recently anyway, somebody was there with a pretty fancy pneumatic outfit kind of thing. And when you, it's kind of what I like about being at the range, you can kind of scope out the targets, you know. And no matter what people say, you take a look at the target and it tells you what's going on kind of thing. And honestly, the groups the guy was shooting with that air rifles were just horrible at 50 yards.
Well, you're a hand loader, so you know. I mean, it could be that barrel doesn't like those pellets or that weight of pellets. I mean, it turned into an obsession where just like, you know, you're weighing out your powder and everything, I was sorting pellets by weight, and it's just, there's so many different variables. I mean, how long the hammer stays open, what PSI you're filling your air tank to, the temperature outside, so, but if his group was that bad, I would say it's probably the shooter. I mean, a bad group because the gun's not happy is, you know, 2 MOA, but if he's splattering the target, that's the guy behind the gun.
Yeah, that could be too, you're right. You got me chuckling over here weighing up.
I never really thought about it. You kind of got into the air stuff like I got into the center fire stuff there. But, yeah, you're right. There was a fellow shooting. I used to like working at the Lapeer Sportsman's Clubs in the fall because they had the range was open for sight-in days kind of thing. You got all kinds of folks showing up. But this one guy shows up, and he pulls out this fancy European. I couldn't remember the name of it. I was always interested. It was a European sniper rifle and the Federal Gold Medal match ammo that all snipers sort of use kind of thing, departments. And couldn't tell us anything about himself because he'd have to kill us, you know, that kind of guy. And he sat down with that, I don't know, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 outfit there. She was shooting at 100 and 200 yards there, and the groups were not too good. They were all right, I suppose, for factory ammo, but they were just kind of so-so, you know. And he was just really upset. He was just throwing a fit, you know. And the range officer says, well, Rick, why don't you give it a try? And he goes, yeah, go ahead. Why don't you try it, you know. So I sat down there and got all nice and comfortable and put five into a little clover leaf there. So he got so upset, he just packed up his stuff, and he literally threw it in the trunk and drove off. So it was a nice rifle, though.
I've got plenty of buddies that are like that. They think you got to throw a bunch of money at a gun to get it to shoot, and technology, in my opinion, has come far enough along that most of these cheaper guns, as long as you stick with a reputable one, are going to outshoot you, especially with quality ammo. So we usually have that debate quite often. I got buddies that are, you know, don't only shoot proofs or what the hell is the other one? What is it called? Oh, my God. Seekins. I got another buddy who only buys Seekins, and then I'll slap out my Ruger and a Magpul chassis, and it'll do the same exact thing for what they've got into. My whole setup costs what their bare rifle costs.
Oh, I know what you mean. I always wanted to get into bench rest, but there's a whole pile of money in that, especially if you get all the work done by a good, reputable, custom bench rest smith, you know. But anyway, I stayed away from all that, and I sort of get a thrill out of taking off-the-shelf factory rifles and through hand loading, you know, tune the load to what the barrel likes. And it seems like you can take almost any off-the-shelf rifle, and it shoots, I don't know, 3-4-inch groups at 100 yards with factory ammo and cut that down to under a MOA.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the ticket. All you got to do is find the ammo that it likes. And I think I told you, I built an NRL open class, NRL 22 open class, and it's the most ridiculous 22 I've ever shot, and it's a laser beam. But it's a 22, so it's just, there's no practical use for me other than if I wanted a plank, which I do, but I don't. You know, I don't really care to go make an effort to go plank. If I got time to go shoot, I want to go hunt. And the 22 is just such a lackluster round, but all my other stuff, you know, off-the-shelf rifles, I do my initial cleanings and all that crap, and then, you know, typically I have really good luck with a VMAX round. I shoot Hornady out of everything I hunt with, and I've never been disappointed with the groups. If it's not shooting Hornady's good, it usually is something's wrong with a gun.
Leave a little opening there. Yeah, I know what you mean. I was always bouncing around between Sierra and Nosler, and then something happened, and I settled on Nosler. I really like the ballistic chips. They really fly well. But it was always, like I said, I was always taking it from 3 or 4 inch groups down to minute of angle is pretty easy. And but then getting from minute of angle to half MOA, that was a little tougher. And then to kind of get under half MOA, do bench rest stuff with an off-the-shelf center fire is extremely difficult, almost impossible most of the time, but what the heck is worth trying, you know? Anyway, that's what happens to me. I buy a new rifle, and from spring till winter, and sometimes all through the winter, I just spend the whole time developing loads for it. It's a lot of fun. I used to get all hopped up for deer hunting, but then, you have to wait 50 weeks to hunt for 2 weeks, so doing load work and range work. I can do that all year long.
Hey, DBS, I'm glad I haven't made that jump yet. I've looked at the stuff dozens of times. I've had people offer me equipment plenty of times. I'm like, no. I know it's a free slope. I'm glad I haven't done it yet, but I know at some point I'll probably want to. Although, the camo's been so good. 22 that I've not done anything to other than obviously build. The only ammo that I've ever shot out of it is Daily Match 40 grain flat nose. And I just, like, I can't, I don't know what else I would want out of a round. So, obviously I'm not going to load 22s, and that's kind of how that game works. But, I've got other stuff too. My whole thing is, as long as I'm hitting what I'm aiming at and it dies, I'm happy.
Yes, sir. If you're lucky enough to be, if you could find some factory ammo that'll shoot well in a particular rifle there, then you got a good thing going. Stock up on a whole bunch of it, as much as you can afford of the same lot number, and you're good to go for a long time. But I like the fact that I can just whip up what I want, when I want, anytime I want kind of thing. Like, I used to have a Dillon 650 Progressive there. You could crank out a couple hundred rounds an hour kind of thing, and I'd get up on Saturday mornings, and we'd had shoots going on at Peter Sportsman's Club, and I could load up a couple hundred rounds in an hour and take off for the range there. It spoils you, definitely.
That is the huge benefit, is you are the lot number. I mean, you just make what you want, like you said. I mean, I know there's lot numbers for the bullets themselves, but you usually get pretty damn close. But I did the same thing. Found that Ely match that my gun liked, first shot, or first batch of ammo I tried. And I was like, yep. And then I went back online and ordered, I think, 2,000, 3,000 rounds of it. I barely even dented it because I hardly ever shoot the gun. But I know that most likely for the rest of my lifetime, that gun's going to be dialed in.
That is the way to do it, and you know, you got to do the same thing for hand loading. Only you got to get the same lot number of powder, because they run in lot numbers too. And you get a new lot of powder. I've got, you know, a couple pounds of a new lot of powder, and they could be 10% one way or the other from the speed. So you're almost like, well, I got to fine tune this load again for this new lot of powder. Which I don't really mind, because that's the enjoyable thing for me, is putting them together and working on them and figuring out whether I got to go up or down, or, you know, what you got to do. Closer jump, not quite as much jump, or, you know, it's just a lot of fun.
I was going to say, then you got to finesse the velocity back in. The next thing I got to do, I got to buy one of those Garmin Zeros. I've got a crappy Caldwell that's always about 100 feet per second off, and it seems to be exponential. So, getting good data is pretty hard out of a calculator. But on that note, I'm pulling in the driveway. It was good talking to you, and I'm sure we'll continue this conversation another day. I'll be clear for yours, NATBF.
Okay, young man, have a good one there, and take care, and we'll catch you later. Definitely, like you, I could talk about this stuff forever. catch you later, KAWOJ.
WOJ, where do you go tiger shooting? KFATRC.
Hey, Jack, how you doing? Good to hear from you. I usually go out to the Pontiac Lake Range over there by the Pontiac Airport.
You know, they made a lot of changes there. I go there, too, in Pontiac. You know, they said it's in Pontiac, but it's not in Pontiac. It's somewhere else. There's two of them, by the way. But I usually go the one for the DNR one.
Yeah, there's the one there by Pontiac Lake. That's the DNR range, and then Ortonville's got one that's kind of off in the woods a little bit off of M15. Then there's one over by, what's that called, the Metro Park over there off of 696. Shoot, I can't think of the name of that one. But, yeah, there's quite a few of them. Excuse me, and I like the fact that they have, they're not actually DNR people, they're park people, but anyway, they have usually have three or four of them standing around making sure all the safety rules are being carried out, so they're nice, safe places to go.
Yeah, I always go there anyhow, but maybe, you know what, maybe this weekend I'll go there, because it's warm, it's still warm outside, you know, getting in the 80s, so I like that, you know, go target shooting there. I usually take my bow and arrow and take a few other things, you know, pistol. I got 38 I usually take with me, and I usually take a 308 Model 10.
Oh, cool. I used to be there all the time. I had a lot of people that I used to be down there before they made a lot of the changes. I was down there on lane one all the time. I'd get there early, and I always pick the same lane and sit there on the same lane. I had a ton of people come up to me and go, you know, I don't think I've ever come here when you weren't here and sitting down there on lane one. So we may have crossed paths out there, but, yeah, they have a lot of goodies out there. They got the archery range. They got a they actually got a place for throwing tomahawks and knives and stuff, and then they got a little bitty ski area there down by the dumpster, and there's a lot going on there. It's kind of a nice place. We even took a little barbecue one time and had a little barbecue lunch while we were there. They invited the range officers too.
We usually go, I got my daughter, she's got two sons, I used to take them with me and go there, get them a sandwich, sit down there, relax there, two sandwich, pop two and all that, you know what I'm saying? We go there, we spend almost a whole day there before we go home, because I like to shoot, skeet shot, you know, shotgun. I like that, and I like to shoot that 308 I have, so.
Yes, sir, I know what you mean. I'm the same way. I usually spend the whole doggone day there. And, you know, if you spend it all shooting, it's kind of nice to talk to people, too, because you don't go through quite as much ammo through the day. But that's kind of why I got into hand loading there, so I could replace the ammo at a little bit cheaper. It's not really cheaper hand loading, but you get to do more shooting for the same money.
Yeah, I used to know a guy who does that a long time ago, 2000. I don't know what happened to him now. And, you know, I don't know. I don't like to do, I like to buy him outright, you know what I mean? They're all loaded and how much the powder in them and everything else. You know, I like to do that, you know. It's better that way for me.
Yeah, I think most people are the same way, Jack. They just don't want to fool around, don't have the time for it, and just get factory ammo that shoots well for it. But I was always trying to eat the highest amount of accuracy I could get out of the doggone thing, so I enjoy, part of the enjoyment for me is playing with the loads, starting out from the minimum to the maximum, a certain number of rounds, and then shooting groups with them, and you can start to see a charge weight that is starting to get a little more accurate kind of thing, so you start focusing in on that. Then you get a powder charge established, and then you start fooling around with the seating depth of the bullet, and, you know, it's almost endless, but it's a lot of fun when you all of a sudden can put all five in the same hole.
You're right about that. Well, like I said, sometimes you have to look, you know, you put a little bit more powder and says, hey, this is a little bit more, see how it's going to be and all that. That's why I really don't like that. I just go buy it outright and go out there to the target shooting.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. And a particular powder that I like to use, it's a pretty popular powder everybody likes. The last few years, it's been almost impossible to find. And I was pretty much almost out of it there. And then just all of a sudden last week, some showed up at a supplier there. So I hopped on it right away. Got a couple pounds, so I've got enough for a little while.
He was saying, hey, I'm pulling through the gas station, so I can't talk anymore. I wish I could talk to you later. You take care. KFADRC.
Okay, Jack, always good talking with you there, buddy. And you be careful out there, be safe, and we'll catch you later. I get so wound up in talking about this stuff, I don't think I've identified in a long time. KAWOJ, have a good one. We'll catch you later.
KFACWF.
KFACWF, go ahead. It's all yours.
Yes, sir. I just bought this radio and manually programmed its first station or channel. How does it sound?
Very good. Sounds excellent. I'd give you a 5.9 there. Full quiet, nice and clear. Nothing wrong with it at all.
I appreciate the radio check, and I thank you. Next step is to get the programming cable, load it up, put it in the truck. Thank you very much. KF8CWF 73s.
My pleasure. You have yourself a great day and have fun programming that. And I got one coming tomorrow. I've been waiting for the same thing. I can't wait to get it thrown up on the bench there and programmed and then play a little bit. Have a good one. We'll catch you later. KEAWOJ, I'll be clear. Tom, there you are. I thought maybe you had a stop to make somewhere.
Oh, I did. I had to stop off at that little place on the side of this rest area.
Oh, yeah, between Lapeer and Emily City?
No, Schwartz Creek.
Oh, my goodness. You're still a long way from home then. Okay, well, you'll be home pretty soon anyway.
Oh, yeah, travel the west side corridor today.
Oh, aren't you lucky to you can work your way down to 69?
Well, I went from Memphis. Then to downtown Grand Rapids, and I mean downtown as in downtown. I was right off of Michigan and Iona. Got them there. You know, the police, those two accounts are two separate buildings a block apart, so that was easy walking distance. And then we were done there, and I was like, okay, what else we got to do here? And it's like, since we're on the west side, got all of my coordinator. I said, what else you got? And I said, we're going to be down here in Grand Rapids in about 5 minutes. Goes, how far are you from Battle Creek? Good to us. So we went to Battle Creek, took care of that. So I think in 94 all the way home, we came up 69.
Oh, cool. I've never really been over that way. I've always wanted to go to Grand Rapids here. They They got a nice river that flows through the middle of town there, with filled with steelhead. So I always kind of wanted to get over there and try it out.
Well, all you need is a fishing pole and a magnet.
Hey, Tom.
What up?
So my card came in today. I just filled up at BP. $234.9. So $235 a gallon.
Sweet. And that goes on for what, 2 months?
3 months, I think, and then it goes up 50 cents. And that's the normal price. So, like I said, it's normal warehouse. So for 3 months, I get it at an additional 50 cents, and then, and then it goes to, like, warehouse club pricing.
Awesome. Did you see the price of the gas in Lansing yesterday?
Not bad, not bad. Anywho, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I know that was, I was talking about that the other day, and so it came, and I finally got the thing all working. I just went there first time, and it's like, woohoo.
Sweet. Hey, can you get in touch with your buddy there? I texted you last night in regards to one of those power supplies.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm waiting. I've got a couple other feelers out there, and going to hit when I know everything.
Cool, that works. Just keeping up in the situation. I know there's somebody else on frequency too a couple days ago that they had some GMRS equipment, and I forgot who that was. They were supposed to email me to QRZ, and I haven't seen it yet.
Well, this guy had a couple of radios, a couple of ICOMs, but they're both VHF and just odd ducks. You know, they run some weird digital mode I never heard of, so there's nothing really of interest there. All right, I'll let you guys get to it. I just was pulling out of the gas station here. Going to run the chicken shack now. Go ahead, Rick.
Boy, Sean, that's a heck of a price for gas there. You got a pretty good thing going there. maybe you get in some kind of trailer with a little tank on it there. You can get 100 gallons or so and take them home. I'm just flabbergasted at that price. Tom, go ahead, KEAWOJ.
Sorry, I was trying to find another repeater there, Rick. Still on the Holly repeater.
Yeah, that's okay. You're sounding kind of rough there, and I was trying to think in between where you are and home there, Richmond or whatever. There's not a whole lot in the area there that's kind of tied in this system there, so you're kind of stuck a little bit.
Well, I think I found another one. This is 43775, and it seems a little bit clearer there because I'm coming into Lapeer. So it might be the Lapeer repeater.
Let me have a look-see.
I was going to do the same, but yeah, you're sounding a whole lot better.
That's the Mayville. 3.775 is the Mayville.
All right. That's what I meant with Mayville. Yeah, I just crossed over Lapeer Road, so. Still heading eastbound.
Well, that's a pretty decent stretch north of Lapeer there. so anyway, yeah, you're sounding really good.
Yeah, we seem a little bit staticky, but you're understandable. So, I don't know, I'm getting close. In my city, 14 miles.
Hey, there you go, almost on the home stretch there. And just out of curiosity, I had heard that the Lapeer repeater was down, the tower got knocked down or something by some nasty storm that went through there. Is that true? That it seemed like they have a they had a node on that tower, and it seems like I can still hit the node.
Yeah, I can handle that. So they had a VHF machine came down in a storm, and they got it back up and running at an alternate location. I think one of the Central Michigan locations, might even be Mayville. And, just turned into some flashers and some sort of a situation here. All right, get over. There we go. Anyhow, I think it might be closer to Mayville anyhow, and back up and running temporarily while they sort things out.
Oh, cool. Thanks, John. You're always a wealth of information. KDAWOJ, Tom?
KZKJO. Yeah, Sean took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, Lapeer got hit with one of those bad storms and knocked the tower right down, but Central Michigan and a bunch of other members and operators rushed to the aid and got that back up pretty darn fast.
Well, that's pretty nice. I remember connecting there with Echolink, and they had a network that ran through on the west side there. I remember hearing them on some net meetings there, and they had quite a bit of coverage there, over to the west anyway.
Now, you're rock solid right now. Are you running the node, or are you into a machine?
No, I'm RF into the West Bluefield repeater.
All right, well, you don't need anything more. You're sounding great, but, it was so perfect. I thought, well, I wonder if he's on the node. But there you have it. I was on a node yesterday. I don't know if you heard me talking to the guys on my way to and from Lansing, but I just threw the node in the car and stayed on that the whole way instead of fishing around for repeaters. It's almost like cheating.
It is. Sorry, Tom, but I had to come back here. The greatest thing that you recommend in that clear node is the greatest piece of equipment that I have bought since I got a license there. I am hooked solid on that thing. And I kind of forgot there was a net going on in the GM repeater downtown there, and I was sitting on the porch like usual with this handheld, and the net control said how clear and full quietening I was, and I had forgot I'd connected to the node with that. So he thought it was just my handheld going that distance that good. But yeah, this I just love this thing. Tom, go ahead.
And I still have to get more toys. You know, I try to just bounce around the channels because I travel so much. Maybe one day I'll pick up a node. I know I heard you guys on P25 earlier today on the way out there. I think I was on Lansing.
I picked myself up earlier. I've got another, I've got a radio coming tomorrow. Actually, last weekend I ordered Anytone D578 tri-band with DMR mobile, and supposedly Amazon had it in stock and next day delivery, and I'm still waiting. It's turned into a nightmare. They won't let me cancel the order. They haven't shipped. They won't let me cancel the order. It's just and they've got the money tied up and pending kind of thing, so I ended up going to Ham Radio Outlet, ordered it yesterday, it'll be here tomorrow, so I have a nice DMR to play with.
Those are supposed to be pretty nice. All right, I'm here at the Chicken Shack, going to run inside, be back. W8FU.
Okay, another frequency.
The repeaters out there dialed right in, I'm telling you. He could tell you've been in it a while.
I got some of them dialed in. I think I got them all in there, so I just like to flip around when I can.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't get to travel much anymore, but when I was trying to set these radios up, I'm going, well, what do I do with, you know? Most of the time, I only need Southeast Michigan kind of stuff, but I do make trips up north, and so then I try to find all the repeaters along the I-75 corridor there and then load those in there. But now that I'm using and starting to use these DMR-equipped radios, they got zones, so it's kind of interesting because you can just kind of load everything in different zones, which makes it kind of nice. At first, I was like, it's kind of, well, this is confusing, this old fart, so, but... Now that I've dealt with it for a little while, it's kind of nice. I'm kind of liking it.
Yeah, I got that on my DMR. I got it on East West, but actually, no, I just got DMR in place. Analog and flex and stuff like that, so I'm constantly updating it.
Yeah, there's so many different ways you could set that up. I got thinking about it, and it started to hurt a little bit. I went local analog, local digital, Michigan, nationwide, and then I think worldwide, and that was it, as far as I went.
Oh, yeah. I set it up for wherever I'm at. So if I put it on GMRS GMR Travel, then in the zone, I got a top group, so I go over to that, and then I go up and go down to 51 or 52, and, you know, then bump between the different towers. Oh, yeah, but I'm still messing with it.
Yeah, you know, for some odd reason, I can't get 51 or 52 to work. I have to go with 31261 and 31262, and they work fine. But 51 and 52 just don't seem to work. Yet 93 and 91 for nationwide and worldwide seem to work fine. So I don't know what's up, but I'll figure it out sooner or later.
Well, 51 and 52 operate off of their towers. Or but if you're on like Mount Clemens DMR tower for MI5, then it's 51 and 52.
Well, that's what I thought. It seems like off the porch here, the only one I can really use very well with this little handheld and 5 watts, 6 watts is the CMC in Detroit there. And they list, let's see, did they list 51 or 52 or 31261? Oh, you're right. I think they list 31261. That's where I got those numbers at. But that explains why I can't hit 51 or 52 to work. thank you, sir. And that little piece of knowledge there when you told me to make sure I had, for a DMR host, 3104 instead of 3103 that it was set up. That made all the difference in the world. All of a sudden, DMR started working on that node.
Yeah, 3104 is the server. That's what Jeff said it was when somebody else was looking into it. The server. And when you go into your node, you have 31261, 31262, 6, such and so forth. But if you're on the CMC tower, same thing, 31261, 31262. But if you're on, like, Detroit or Mount Clemens MI5 network, then it's 51, 52, and so forth.
Oh, I got you. That makes sense. Yeah, it sure is fun to play with, and I'm kind of looking forward to getting this new mobile 50-watt DMR where I can reach out to a lot more repeaters there. Who knows, sooner or later, maybe I'll end up putting one in the car. But I really don't go a lot of places, so, and then I worry about somebody stealing it.
Oh, yeah, I get it. Anybody goes near my van, though, my dog knows, and she's barking, and she's vicious, and so is the pit bull, so
Yeah, maybe that's the trouble. I got cats over here, and they're pretty quiet. Thank you. There's any kind of intruders, they take off.
My house lives four houses down from the police department, and, you know, they patrol by my, they go down my street all the time, so, and they watch out for my van and everybody else's, you know, cars on the street there, because it's a pretty good neighborhood where I live, and anybody that does something, they better have a darn good reason on it that they're going to get lead poisoning.
Yes, sir, I agree. And over here it's pretty decent, too, but I've noticed over the years through around Thanksgiving to after New Year, there's nothing really going on for most of the year, but from Thanksgiving to New Year, we have some vehicle break-ins and things get stolen. Must be people looking for Christmas gifts for their friends or something.
Like I said, it's, you know, there's five dogs down the street, my three dogs, one's a pit bull, one's a mountain curb, and she's got teeth on her, and she's fast. And next door is a 120-pound German Shepherd, and the next door after that is two 80-pound dogs, so anybody messes around in the neighborhood, there's a lot of teeth.
Yeah, Roger. Yeah, for a long time we had Bernice Mountain Dogs, great big dogs, you know, when she'd bark, it sounded like, it was deep and loud, and people were like, whoa, you know. But the sweetest dog you'd ever want to be around there, she just, it was like she lived to please, you know.
Everybody is afraid of pit bulls, but my baby. Super adorable and super lovable. She's a black lab kid, but she comes up and she leaves, you know, all she wants is attention constantly. And she's what, 60 pounds? So she knows how to throw her weight and muscle around, because she's a thick girl, as we call it. Lovable as all beats.
Yeah, that's the way that Bernice Mountain Dog was, too. She was just, I'd be sitting out here on the porch, and she'd come wandering up in front of me and pop, you know, sit down. She reminded me of a bear cub when she sat down. She was pretty good size, pretty good width, too, kind of thing. And she popped down in front of me wanting her back rub. So I'd end up giving her about 10 back rubs during the day, and she just loved it. But those Bernice Mountain Dogs, they had almost all of them have a hip problem on the back hips there, some kind of a breeding problem that happened a long time ago, so it's hard to find one that doesn't have that problem.
Yeah, I love good mountain dogs. I've always noticed that our smallest dog is, you know, my little Whippet. He's only like 35, 40 pounds. The other one's 40 pounds. And then the pit bull was 60, and then our first dog was a border collie mix, and she was about 50.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what ours weighed, actually, but I know picking her up was quite the chore there. We didn't do that very often. In fact, the only time I remember actually picking her up was when we were trying to get her to the vet at the end there. She ended up having some kind of cancer.
Yeah, ours was 14, and she got paralyzed, so she couldn't move. We had to carry her outside, and we actually had a house call by the vet, and that's where she went over the bridge. That was in our backyard down in Big Fellow Street.
Well, at least she was in a familiar place with surrounded by those that love her. Yeah, ours just got really bad, and we just couldn't stand it anymore and started thinking, you know, I don't think we're doing her, we're not doing her any good. We're just keeping her around for us kind of thing. So I picked her up and off to the vet we went, and it just plain sucks. That's all there is to it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my daughter had to go through that at 16 with her first horse. He was 23 and had diabetes, what we call, you know, our horse diabetes, which is Cushing's, brain bone, which he was basically, he could barely walk. And, you know, his back was really bad, and just, he was just going downhill. So instead of keeping him around for, you know, a year or something like that, his health declined really fast. And so he had to make that gut-wrenching decision, which he did.
Yeah, sometimes for us older fellas, us older folks here, we only have to live with it for a while kind of thing. But when the young ones got to make a decision like that, they got to live with it the rest of their days. It's not an easy thing.
Well, my daughter has a weird way with animals, and, you know, he looked at her and looked deep into her soul, and she looked into his soul, and she just looked at him and petted him on the head and said, okay, Tank, I understand. And that's when she made the decision.
Yeah, it's, from my way of thinking, that's really the way you need to connect with them, you know. You know, young or old, healthy or in bad shape, that's the kind of connection you want to make with them. And sometimes the only way you can tell when something's wrong with them is by having that kind of connection. You know, they can't just hop up and go, hey, this hurts or that hurts, or, you know, you kind of notice by paying good close attention to them.
Yeah, like I said, she has a weird way with animals. I mean, she can read them, I guess you can say. She can understand them. I mean, even her, you know, her cat's 17 years old, and she comes home, and that little thing just goes ballistic when she walks in the door. And she's like, all right, Hazel, all right, I'll be up there in a minute. Yep, I know you're hungry, even though she has food upstairs. And then my daughter goes upstairs, and she's bringing her around there and hanging around there, and then jumps up on the bed and lays down next to her. You know, it's goofy. Even her dog does that.
Oh, that's great. That's I guess I'm kind of that way. We've got a couple of feral cats here that I've been taking care of for about a year, and over the year they've gotten used to the rest of the family, but they still don't really get too close to them kind of thing. But when I come out the door, they just come flying up here and like meow, you know, and rubbing on me, and it's very cool, you know. And just like you said, you seem to know, and when I talk to them, they seem to know what I'm saying. It's just it's really kind of strange, but you definitely made connections there, that's for sure.
Yeah, she took her, when we lived in the other house when we had her, when she was, you know, when her cat was younger, we went to the vet, and the vet took us, like, holding her. She goes, don't, she'll stay there. And she looks at her cat and goes, hey, no, sit down and wait. And the cat sat there and waited. And the vet's like, you're serious? She goes, yeah. And you let the go of the cat, and she just sat there like, what's up? It's like crazy.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah, I know. A lot of people say cats can't be trained, but it's just whether they want to be trained or not. And if they feel the love for you and you feel it for them, they're pretty willing.
Yeah, she's had Hazel, her cat. She was a kitten. I'm not talking about teeny tiny kitten. And it's always been hers. So she is the most laid-back cat you know. I mean, you can flip her on her back and, you know, and scratch her belly. You know, and she's long and slinky, so you can wrap her around like a stole around your neck, and she'll just lay there. She doesn't care. 17 years old, but she still does it.
Yeah. Oh, that's very cool. I wish I could remember his name, but there's a cat on YouTube, done, and I can't remember his name. But anyway, there's a whole YouTube series this family's got on this cat. He's just an amazing, incredible cat. He thinks he's a dog, you know, because they got a whole family full of dogs there kind of thing. And so he thinks he's a dog kind of thing. But they go walking on the beach, and the cat goes out in the water and swims and comes back in. And when they're driving, he gets up on the dashboard looking around, kind of pilot, like navigator, I suppose, kind of thing. It's just, they're pretty cool.
Yeah, when I see her, you know, when she was younger, when we made the bed in the, you know, my wife and I made the bed, you know, Hazel would jump on the bed and just sit there, and I'd look at her and just tilt my head to one side and go, meow. And she would just flop on her side and just roll around and sit there. All my animals are just, they're just goofy. You know, my dog, I said the Whippet, her, she is no more than 6 inches from my side. Anytime I'm home.
Oh, that's very cool. I know a lot of people find that aggravating, but I sure don't. The same thing. I took in the only surviving kitten of the litter these two had. These two feral cats had, and he's the same way. He's laying against me or on me. Pretty much most of the time, and I really don't mind it at all. it's quite cool when you can connect with a critter like that.
Yeah, my little rump image, she lays next to me. I sit on the couch, and if the other dogs come near her, she's like, that's my man. You know, she'll bark at the pit bull, or she'll bark at the Aussie healer, my other dog. Say, nope, you can't come over here. This is me, my space, my person. You know, I mean, she doesn't get ferocious over it. She's just, you know, possessive over me. If I lay down in bed, she's right there next to me. If I sit on the couch, she's right there next to me. And it says she's no more than 6 inches away from me at one point or another.
Yeah, I'm out there about 5 o'clock every morning, feeding the mother and father out there, the mother we had fixed, and this morning it was kind of funny. It's been going on over a year kind of thing, but this morning was kind of funny because me and the male were sitting there, and he's pretty laid back. He's real laid back, but he was sitting there by my feet kind of thing, and the female, she was out wandering around. I could tell that something was up and something was bothering her. Off she went, and she just stays right here in the back, and she will not leave our yard kind of thing. She knows it's safe here. But anyway, all of a sudden there's this screaming going on kind of thing over at the corner of the yard there in the dark. And so I yelled, just get over here kind of thing, and then she come flying over. Apparently, she's been keeping other cats from getting into the yard. She's kind of like a guard dog, apparently.
Gotcha. All right, sir. I am pulling into my runway here, but I'll be back out in the morning as usual. I got to go out to Lansing, and then I got to go to Kalamazoo and maybe try to pick up one more in Grand Rapids on the way home, make some extra cash. So I'll see you 73 on your final, and it's always a pleasure talking with you. KCKKO.
Okay, Tom, same here. I always enjoy hearing you, whether it's out here or on DMR there. And so I don't know, depends on when this thing gets delivered tomorrow. Maybe I'll catch you on DMR somewhere. But anyway, have a good one there, and we'll catch you later. Be careful out there on them roadways. KWOJ, I'll be clear.
Sounds good. KCKJO, clear.
Hey, thanks, Sam.
Papa Alpha, radio check. Is there anybody available for my radio check? W8VPA. Whiskey 8, Bravo Papa Alpha, monitoring.
W8FU, AV8 Pier.
K8RUH.
W8VD.
Who was that? K8RUH.
It's Wally, W8VD.
Anthony here, how you doing?
How's it going, buddy?
Not bad, just was out having a beer with some buddies for somebody's birthday and had one, and now it's time to go home. I'm a couple blocks away from home, and we'll get some dinner and relax.
Whose birthday was it?
Just one of my buddies. He's, I don't know, 55, 56, something like that.
I'm very good. Yeah, today's my birthday as well. 9/11.
Keep it interesting, huh? They probably put a sad mark on your birthday for a while here.
Happy birthday, Wally.
Yeah, it did. The only thing I do regret is back then I was pretty active in a fire department. They asked me to go. I turned them down. I kind of wish I would have went. They didn't want anybody for all of the big stuff. They were looking for help for all the routine stuff that still came across the door. And our department sent about 5 guys there, and I wish I would have done it. I mean, they didn't do any of the hero work, but you know, all the other miscellaneous stuff kept happening, so that's what they were looking for. I kind of wish I wouldn't have turned them down, but I didn't know the world was going to come to a stop that day, but it did.
Happy birthday, Wally, ABAPR. Pulling in the garage.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Well, on a happier note, did you do anything exciting this evening? Did you go out to dinner, hang out with any friends or family?
Spent the afternoon with the grandkids at the park and did absolutely nothing, which was right up my alley. So I enjoyed that. I just sat there and stared at my phone, played around with that little tid radio that some of the guys are messing with. Watched the grandkids, drove around town in the golf cart, and Marion took me out to Longhorn Steakhouse, which is like my favorite steakhouse of all time. I'd rather go there than any of the fancy ones. I just enjoy their ribeye to no end.
Well, sounds like you had a great birthday.
I did. I'm pretty happy.
Very cool. Well, I'm pulling into the driveway here, so I will catch up with you soon. This is K8RUH. Have a great evening and happy birthday. Hopefully you enjoy the rest of it. And I will be clear on your final.
Take care, Anthony. Be safe. Be careful. And That's good. Yeah, I was a good boy, too. I only had one old-fashioned. Later, Gator. W. Good evening.
WF.